You know, the Bible is filled with great doctrinal truth. I thrill to the doctrine of God as the triune God, a God who is holy, God who is love. I appreciate the doctrines of salvation. I'm thankful that Christ came to redeem sinners like me and came to save us and give us eternal life. There are great doctrines in the Bible, but the Bible is more than just a theological book. The Bible is a very personal book. The Bible was written, God used men to write the Bible. God used human language to give us the scripture. And God spoke about and talked about people. The Bible is very personal, and I love when I study the Bible, not only to study doctrines, but to study people. I have the privilege, we started recently a Sunday school class for men, and I'm planning to talk about some men of the Bible because of the practical lessons that come from that. But tonight I want to speak about a lady in the Bible. One that had a special relationship with Jesus Christ, and a relationship that I believe that all of us, men and women, can learn from. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we read, "It came to pass that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We have the story here of Mary and Martha, and as we'll look in John's gospel, find that they had a brother named Lazarus. In John 11, verse 5, we're told that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. This family, they loved Jesus. John has been called the beloved disciple. These three have been called the beloved family. But here was a family that especially loved the Lord, and they were especially dear to the Lord. He loved them. They lived in Bethany, which is just a couple miles east of Jerusalem. As you go through the Kidron Valley and up the edge of the Mount of Olives and around the south shoulder of that mountain, you'd come back down to Bethany, just across the Mount of Olives. They weren't far from Jerusalem. It was just people walked in those days, and a 2-mile walk was nothing to them. And Jesus often went to Bethany, 3 times in the scripture. We're told that he was in Bethany, in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in each of those 3 occasions, we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. Each time, she was there at Jesus' feet. We read here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 39, ten and verse 39. We read that Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary and Martha were different. We see Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, Martha cumbered about much serving. I want to talk about Martha for a moment. Martha felt some responsibility. You see, she was, if you will, the mistress of the home, evidently the oldest of those three. And Martha found out Jesus was coming. And Martha cared about Jesus. She loved the Lord, and she wanted to serve him. And by the way, that's a great trait. I'm thankful for people in this church that love the Lord and want to serve him. I get worried about people who say, well, I love the Lord, but I don't have time to do anything for him. I don't have time to serve him. I've got my life to live. She loved the Lord, and she served the Lord. She wanted to serve him. He was coming, and she wanted to make a nice dinner for him. She wanted to cook an excellent meal because she appreciated him and loved him and honored him. But as Martha was serving, we're told that she became cumbered with much serving there in verse 40. That word cumbered has the idea of being pulled in all directions, pulled or dragged in every direction. She starts cooking the potatoes, and I gotta go take care of this, and I gotta put something else on the table, and she started getting frazzled. She became all worked up. She was in a stew now. I have all this to do, and she didn't start that way, but the tense of the verb indicates that she came to that place. First, things were fine, but as the pressure started mounting in her mind, she started thinking about what I've got to do and how can I make this for better for the Lord? How can I make a dinner? She got distracted in her serving. Now, we ought to serve the Lord. It's good to serve him. And Jesus came to serve, and those who follow him will serve. But we have to be careful when we serve that we don't become distracted and cumbered and dragged about and pulled and worked up in our service. You see, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If Martha would have learned what Mary had learned, Martha's service could have been joyful and a blessing rather than getting all upset. As Martha became distracted and pulled and worked up about her service, she looked at Mary. We were told in verse 39 that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Martha, cumbered about with much serving, came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She became critical of Mary. Mary left me, and she's left me alone, and I've got to do all the work, and she's lazy, and she's just sitting here. By the way, as she came to Jesus, it was kind of an attack. She stood at him and she said, Lord, don't you care? You see, when we get worked up about our service, instead of praising the Lord, we become critical of him. Lord, you don't care. And she's almost like a second grader in school. You know, hey, teacher, tell him not to bother me. She said, Lord, tell her to help me. Tell my lazy sister to get off her duff and start serving me. And that's what happens when we allow our service to work us up. Now, Mary, she had served. Notice in verse 39, verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet. She also sat at Jesus' feet. She had served, but she also sat. Martha said, my sister hath left me. Mary was serving with Martha. She was helping getting things ready. But now that the Lord had come, now that Jesus was there, now that he had come to fellowship with them, She served, and now she sat. And Martha was all worked up about that contrast. I'm working, she's not. Our Lord spoke to Martha in verse 41 and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." The word careful is speaking about inward anxiety. She was anxious on the inside. She was full of anxiety and care. Is this going to be perfect? I hope I don't burn the roast. She was all worked up. What if this happens? And she got all worked up on the inside, and then she was troubled. The trouble is the outward restlessness. As she rushed back and forth from the kitchen to the dining room to do this, to take care of that, and being worried on the inside, she was now troubled on the outside. She was troubled, Jesus said, about many things. All these dishes. We've got to have two vegetables and three meats, and got to have biscuits, and got to have potatoes, and we got to. And maybe Jesus likes rice better. And we'll just. And she was all worried about all these things. But Jesus said one part is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. You see, as we serve him, and we need to serve him, we need to also learn to sit and learn of him. And Mary chose the good part. Now, in contrast to Martha, I want you to notice what she chose. First, she chose the good part. You see, when Jesus came to their house, he didn't come to get a 7-course dinner. He was more concerned about the fellowship than he was about the menu. He would be very happy with a simple meal. He wanted to spend time with these people that he loved. Mary understood that, and she chose the good part. In Revelation 3:20, the Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." What does sup mean? Eat supper. He said, "I want to eat supper with you." Why? So he can sponge off you and get a big fancy meal. No, he wants to sit at table with you and enjoy you. He wants to teach you. He wants to help you. He wants to meet with you. It's not the menu that matters. And when Jesus walked under that tree and saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, that sycamore tree, he said, "Come down, for I'm what? Going to your house today." That's the way the song says it anyway. I must abide at the house today. I'm coming over for dinner. Now, is he saying, "Now, Zacchaeus, you make me a fancy meal"? No, he said, "We have some discussions. We'll break some bread. We'll have a meal together." But he didn't come to Zacchaeus. "Oh, Zacchaeus is rich. I want to go to his house because he'll give me a fancy meal." No. He wanted to help Zacchaeus and bring him to repentance and salvation and meet his deepest need. And see, while we serve the Lord, and while we need to serve the Lord, we need to be willing to sit and realize that the good part is the fellowship that we have for him. And our service is done in fellowship with him. Not only was it a good part, but it was a timely part. As we mentioned, after serving, Mary sat. You see, there are some that only want to sit. Well, I'll just come and I'll sit in church and I'll occupy my place in the pew and I'll hear the great preaching of Pastor Mark Money and I'll just come and all I'll do is sit. That's not balanced. Mary had it balanced. Others say, oh, I don't care about the preaching. I don't care about the teaching. I'm just going to do. I'm just going to be involved in activities and do things. That's not balanced either. The balance that the Lord wants is we serve and we sit. It's the timely part. It's not only the good part and the timely part, it's an available part. In Matthew 11:29, that we already mentioned, where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he went on to say, and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, what's a yoke? Now, a yoke is a wooden structure, at least it used to be wooden, that they would put on oxen to make it easier for them to pull the plow or pull a cart. If you just had a rope around their neck, it would cut and pull and hurt. But you put that yoke and it spread out the pressure and made their work easy. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. When you take it, you submitted to him to do his work. But his yoke is easy. His yoke makes the work easy. And especially it becomes easy when we learn of him. You see, it's not just pulling the plow or pulling the cart, but we're learning from him. And Mary understood that part. Yes, I want to serve him. But in adding to my serving, there must be sitting. And that was available. And the Lord gives us that opportunity. See, he's knocking at the door. He says, I want to come in. I want to eat supper with you. Not so you get all frazzled about making me a meal, but so that we can enjoy a fellowship. I'm afraid some of us say, Lord, I'm not ready yet for you. I got some more work to do. You just stay out and wait till I finish getting things ready. No, we need to learn to serve and to sit. This part, that good part, was also a revealing part. It revealed her teachable spirit. She was willing to be taught. She didn't think she knew everything already. She sat at his feet in submission to let him teach her. It showed that she was willing to receive the word of Christ. Like the Berean Christians in Acts 17 that were more noble than those in Thessalonica down the road because they received the word with all readiness. And they searched the scriptures to find out whether what they'd received was true. Oh, that we would be noble, like the Bereans, like Mary. And if we sit at his feet, submitted to him, listening to him, being taught by him, he'll show our attitude. This good part was also a sustaining part, for her sitting at Jesus' feet would sustain her joy in service. You see, people, they say they get burnout. Oh, I work and serve in the church, but I work for 20 years and I'm burnt out. I'm just tired of serving. You know why we have burnout? Because we serve and don't sit. Because we allow it to, see, Martha was, if you will, burn out. I'm glad it was only temporary. We'll see her back serving again. But if we learn to balance that, take his yoke and learn of him, serve and sit, we can continue our joyful service. And so the first time we see Mary of Bethany as those sisters invited Jesus into their home, we find her sitting at Jesus' feet. She's a disciple. She's learning. She's taking in what he has to teach. We turn over to John chapter 11, and we see the second time that Jesus comes to Bethany in John chapter 11. And verse 1 of chapter 11, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Lazarus, who evidently wasn't at home when Jesus was there the first time, at least we don't have him mentioned there in Luke's gospel, but Lazarus is sick. And we read in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They sent a request to Jesus. They said, the one you love is sick. It's not just he's got a little cold, and he's a little down. He's serious. He's sick to die. We need help. And they made that request. It was urgent. Their brother had a real need, and they send word to Jesus, come here, the one you love is sick. And it was based on Jesus' love. The one you love is sick. Come, this is important. Lazarus is important to us, and Jesus, he's important to you. He's your friend. You love him. And again, we read verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But notice verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That doesn't seem to make good sense. He loved him. And he loved him, and he hears that he's sick, and therefore he stays 2 days where he's at. He gets the urgent request, come, the one you love is sick. He needs your help. And Jesus loved him. He gets the request. Therefore, he stays 2 days. Why did Jesus delay? I think the answer, one answer, is he delayed because he loved them. You see, he knew what was best for them. A little later on, he'll say that that they'll believe. He said, I'm glad that verse 15, that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. And he's going to, through this, bring faith to his disciples, faith to Mary and Martha, faith to others. And he cared. Sometimes we feel like we have a very urgent need, a very urgent prayer request. We got to get it answered. Lord, now. And because the Lord loves us, he says, not now. You need to wait. My time is right. And because he loved them, he waited. He wanted to do something more than heal a sick man. He wanted to raise a dead man. And he would demonstrate his love to them by waiting. Now, when he does that to us, sometimes you say, I don't think the Lord loves me. I've got this need, and the Lord's not answering it, and it's urgent, and the Lord doesn't seem to care. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. And his heart was touched with their grief, as the song says. But because he loved them, he waited. He saw their need and how he could really help them, and he delayed. He not only delayed because he loved them, but because omnipotence doesn't need to hurry. We who are weak, we have to hurry or we're going to miss it. He's omnipotent. He could wait and still answer the request. Mary and Martha were both, Lord, if you'd been here. But he was God, and he could wait. And when we have that urgent need, we ought to go to the Lord. We ought to seek his face. We ought to ask him for help. But then trust him to help us in his time, in his way. Well, finally, Jesus came. And if we go down in chapter 11 to verse 20, John 11, verse 20, we read, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in his house. Martha gets word Jesus is coming, and boom, she was off to meet him. She had flown on him there in the house when Mary was sitting, Lord, don't you care? And now again, she takes off to meet Jesus. That word meet there, she met him, verse 20, she went and met him. And that word sometimes indicates hostility. And it seems that Martha may have been a bit upset with Jesus, because notice what she said in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, you delayed. Why did you delay? If you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. And she couldn't wait to get to Jesus to criticize him. Now, Mary, we're told, sat still in the house. Jesus was gracious to Martha. She taught him some great truths. Verse 23, she said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto the Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. She didn't seem to fully get it, but she was hearing tremendous truth that Jesus is the resurrection, the life. Not only would Lazarus rise in the last day, but he'd rise in moments. Then in verse 28, we read, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as Mary heard that, she rose quickly and came to Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, was in the place where Martha met him. In verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, notice what she did. She fell down at his feet. She had sat at his feet as a disciple to learn. And now she falls at his feet as a beggar. Her words, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you're paying close attention, you notice that those are the same words that Martha said. But I think the spirit was different. Martha rushed to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou hadst been here. Mary waited. And when called, she came and she fell at his feet. I think Martha was saying, why did you delay? Mary was saying, I wish you could have been here. Jesus' response to Martha and Mary were different. He corrected Martha and taught her about the resurrection. But when Mary came, he acted. For we read in verse 32, "And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews weeping, and which came with her, groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold now how he loved him.' And some of them said, 'Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind cause even this man should not die?' But Jesus went to the tomb. And we're told in verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" He acted in answer to Mary. The lesson for us, when trials come, when issues come, we need to fall at his feet as a beggar, seeking his will. You see, prayer is not dictating to God our will. "God, you're the genie in the bottle. God, you do this for me." True prayer is receiving from God his best. And when we come to the place where, "Lord, I'll fall at your feet, you give me what's best for me," he can answer and bless us. In chapter 12 of John, we have the third time that Mary was at Jesus' feet. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead and whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Jesus had raised the dead, Lazarus. He had come forth. And now Jesus had come back to Bethany. And once again, there was a supper. And notice Martha served. She was doing what she always did. She had a gift of helps and service. And she wasn't exasperated this time. She was serving joyfully. Lazarus is there. We're told there in the second verse, he was one of them that sat at table. What a trophy of the power of Jesus Christ. Here was the guest of honor, sitting at the table, one who had been dead and was raised to life, showing that Christ is indeed the resurrection and the life. And people were believing. Enemies were upset that Lazarus was there. But Mary is there. And once again, Mary is at Jesus' feet. She had sat at his feet to learn. She had fallen before his feet to pray and to beg. And now she worships at his feet. She pours out her pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, worth 300 pence. That's not $3. That's 3 days' wages for a common labor. 300 days' wages, excuse me, a year's wages to buy that ointment. The home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus must have had at least some wealth to it. But here was a treasure. That ointment probably made with olive oil as the base, with a nard, a spice from India, imported from India. A very rich, pungent, give a very rich, pungent odor. A very costly thing. It was in the alabaster container, which would be kind of like a flask with a long neck on it. It would keep that aroma intact until it's time to open it up. And Mary broke that thing, probably broke off the neck. The other gospels say that she anointed his head. And as Jesus had been reclining at the meal, she could pour some of it on his head. That was a common courtesy, to put ointment on a person's head and then poured it out on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary worshiped Jesus. The English word worship comes from the word worth. Worshiping is ascribing worth to. And Mary said, Jesus is worth that ointment. She anointed his body for the burial, we're told elsewhere. Mary gave her heart to the Lord in worship. You see, as we fall before the feet of Christ, we need to sit there to learn. We need to fall there to pray, but we need to bow there to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, you are indeed worth all. Worship involves love. Worship involves a high respect and reverence. And in reverence and respect, she anointed his body. The room, the house, was filled with the odor of the ointment. That rich, pungent smell filled the house with her worship. And Jesus accepted that worship. You know, we are to worship him. When we have learned from him, when we have prayed to him and got our prayers answered, we must not quit there. In gratitude, we worship him. I remember there were 10 lepers who said, Lord, heal us. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And all of them went. All of them were healed. But one came back and fell before Jesus and worshiped him and thanked him. And Jesus said, where are the 9? Mary not only learned and said, hey, I've got some knowledge about Jesus. I know a little bit more about Bible doctrine. She didn't simply say, well, I got my prayer request answered and Lazarus is alive. But once again, she's at his feet, revealing her evaluation of Jesus, revealing her gratitude, showing her love towards her Savior. Now, when Mary did that, she was criticized. We read in verse 4 of chapter 12, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. What was this waste? She wasted a year's wages for a working man. She wasted thousands of dollars worth of ointment. What a waste. And the Gospels tell us that the other disciples joined in with Judas and chimed in, and they criticized her too. As he led that criticism. Now, he wanted the money for himself. He bare the bag, we're told, and he did it so he could take the money himself and sell it and keep some of it for himself. but she's criticized. And you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter to her what Judas said. What mattered to her was her Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we are at Jesus' feet, we can expect to be criticized. But let's be glad that those who are selfish, the one who had become a traitor, would criticize us. Jesus knocks at the door. Will we open the door and sit at his feet and learn? Jesus is able to meet our needs. We fall at his feet, pour out our heart, and ask him to meet them. Jesus has blessed us abundantly. He's given us salvation. He's given us a home in heaven. He's provided our needs. Will we bow before his feet in true worship and honor him and love him and be grateful to him? For if we're truly at his feet like Mary was, our serving will be joyful and our life will be blessed. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for the example that we saw tonight. I pray that you'll help us not to get so busy about our life that we don't take time to be at your feet. We pray in Jesus' name.